Moncrief on News Talk.
For decades now, Des McHale has been producing a body of work based around the odd ways Irish people can speak, particularly in the south of the country. His book of Kerryman jokes appeared 50 years ago, and his latest has just been published. It's called Langers and Lashes, a compendium of Cork slang. Des, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
That's good.
This is my first time on News Talk. I've waited 50 years.
Is it your first time? I'm kind of surprised by that, that you've waited. Well, now, you are from Mayo.
I am. You may have heard of Mayo. You may have heard they won the All-Ireland recently. It wasn't news, I think. But you may have heard it.
Yeah, no, but really the media damped down the whole thing. Is it too soon after only 50 years to be writing a book about the way Cork people talk?
I'm quite an old guy now. I remember I was 5 years old living in Castlebar when Mayo won the last All-Ireland in 1951. And they came into our classroom. We were in first class. And they put one of the kids into the cup. And it was a big event. And we had to wait 75 years. It's quite incredible.
And when you were five, do you remember anyone talking about a priest cursing anyone?
Yes, they do. Oh, the curse was there at the time that the Mayo team was supposed to have overtaken the funeral on the way to the match, and they didn't stop reverentially, and the priest put a curse on them. But a total myth, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lovely legend.
Yeah.
But all the people, and they said they wouldn't win in All-Ireland until all the people had died.
Yes.
All that team have now died, so it was clear to win in All-Ireland. But it's a lovely myth.
So with the Book of Kerryman Jokes was your first book, was it?
Very first book, yeah. I went to Mercia Press looking to publish another book. I'd written a biography of a mathematician called George Boole, and it wasn't for them. So we softened the blow by telling each other Kerryman jokes. And Sean Feehan, the owner of the Mercia Press, said to me, if you had a book of Kerryman jokes, I'd publish that. So I went home and wrote one, and it was an absolute public sensation. It was the best-selling paperback ever written in Ireland. I couldn't believe it. Like, it was reprinted 8 times before it was published. I mean, it was just incredible. I thought, God, this book writing thing is easy. I never had another one. This is the best for this for 8 weeks.
Yeah. And how did you get, if you went into to write a book or suggesting to write a book about a very serious mathematician,
yeah.
How did it get from there to write a book of Kerryman jokes?
I was always interested. See, mathematicians love to classify. They love to collect. I mean, it's part of their nature. And ever since I was a kid, I sort of wrote down every joke I heard in a big copybook, and I said, someday I'm going to publish a real book of jokes. So I'd been collecting jokes for about 20 years at that stage, you know. So I hate to boast, but I probably know more jokes than anybody else in the world. I read joke books all the time. I have thousands of joke books, you know. I mean, I reckon there are about 15 million jokes altogether. Not all of them good, but I probably know all of them. And yet, every day you will hear a new one. It is quite incredible.
15 million jokes?
About 15, I would estimate there are about 15 million jokes altogether, but some of them would be very weak. But I mean, I would say there may be about 500 really good ones, really good, real crackers. But of course, jokes aren't just jokes, it's the telling that counts.
As a comedian,
you probably know what I mean. People tell them well. I mean, some guys can come out and tell the weakest joke, like Tommy Cooper, and get a big laugh. Other people can. Anytime I've ever done stand up, as very few times, I would have to have very, very good material because my delivery wouldn't be great. But if you have good material, you'll get away with being a comedian.
Yeah. And then in your experience, you know, there's kind of this old saw, there's 7 basic types of joke or 5 basic types of joke. Is there truth in that?
Interesting. That's a mathematical concept, that there's 7 different, perhaps, types of jokes, 7 different scenarios. But there are millions of actual jokes. But there probably are a small, finite number of joke techniques that you can actually use. You know, there's surprise and there's abuse and there's various other things. And they nearly fall into that category. And yet you have new joke forms coming, like, you know, the non-jokes, I mean, the Latvian jokes, from time to time they come. And in the modern world, there are probably more types than that. But I wouldn't confine it to 7. I'd say maybe a dozen, maybe 20, but not many more than that. Nearly every joke can be classified. And one of my ambitions is to actually explain jokes mathematically. I've written a book on mathematical jokes. And the whole idea was, can you tell from the mathematical structure of the joke whether the joke is going to be funny or not? And that's a very ambitious scheme. And I've made some progress, but I haven't got there yet.
Okay, and so how I assume you take various qualities of the joke and assign them a mathematical figure. Is that how you go about that?
Well, it'd be more like structure. You would draw a sort of diagram, a vector diagram of the way the joke is coming. And, you know, you have an arrow going in certain directions, but the surprise of the joke means that the arrow actually goes in the opposite direction and people are surprised and that they laugh. So a lot of it would be geometric in that you draw diagrams to actually explain what's going on, you know, in the actual structure of the joke. It's a very technical thing, and not everybody likes it. I mean, I remember having dinner once with famous Kerry author Brian McMahon, and he asked me what I did. I said, I'm a mathematician. But I said, I love to analyse humour. And he said the immortal line, he says, analysing humour is like cutting a skylark's throat to see what makes it sing.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? They made it up on the spot, you know.
It I mean, is.
You shouldn't. There's certain things you shouldn't touch. But, you know, we analyse poetry, we analyse music, we analyse art. Why not analyse humour?
Yeah. So, but that's an ongoing project for you, Des, is it? That you?
I think it's a lifetime project, really. You know.
Yeah, and how close are you to realising it? Do you think?
I wouldn't say I'm even halfway there yet, but I've got my own. The trouble is, almost no publisher would touch it. Who wants to analyse? Who wants to read about it? You know, maybe academics would like to discuss it, but it wouldn't be something that publishers would like to touch. But, you know, you don't always publish what you do. I mean, it's gratifying to do it just for its own sake.
Yeah, well, you don't know. When you end up with what you end up with, it might be absolutely fascinating.
But one of my heroes was George Boole, who is a mathematics professor here in Cork, and he was the father of the digital age. I mean, you know, all our computers and smartphones and everything else come from him. But what he did the same thing with logic. He analysed logic mathematically, and then when he was able to get the mathematical ideas behind it, he was able to turn it into the first digital computer. So it's worthwhile. The trouble is, I could put a lot of comedians out of business. You know, if you understand, if everybody knew what the punchline was coming, and everybody knew what comedians worked, I mean, a lot of comedians would be out of business, and I wouldn't like that either, because I love listening to comedy. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, of course, Boolean logic is a phrase people
absolutely
might
correct.
Have heard.
You're well-versed.
Yes, not. So, when you were, writing your Kerryman jokes book, did you then have to go out into the field and collect Kerryman jokes? And did you collect them in Kerry?
A lot of people go. But I was living in England at the time. I was a student at the University of Kiel. I was doing a doctorate in mathematics. And it was, at this time, Irish jokes were absolutely rampant. But there's a big difference between the, and we had to take it on the chin, of course. But there's a big difference between the Irish joke and the Kerryman joke. The Irish joke is racial, it is insulting, and I had to sort of, you know, grin and bear it. But the Kerryman joke is rather surrealist. I mean, it's a different type of thing. For example, how many Kerrymen does it take to milk a cow? The answer is 24. One to hold each teat, and 20 to lift the cow up and down.
Yes.
I mean, that's a surrealist image. Or one Kerryman explained to another how nature compensates for people's deficiencies, and he said, I don't understand what you mean. He says, well, have you ever noticed if a fella has a weak eyesight, he's probably has good hearing. And if he has a weak sense of smell, he probably has a strong sense of taste. And the guy says, I think I understand what you mean now. I've often noticed the fella has one long leg, the other one's always just a little bit shorter. That's just a realist image. I mean, it's not just a straightforward incident. One final one. What do you get if you cross a Kerryman with an elephant? The answer is a Kerryman will never forget you, a dirty look for the elephant, and the Nobel Prize for Biology.
Yeah.
I mean, there is something surrealist about them. There is something endearing about them. I don't think they're downright insulting. And fair play to them. I've never really had a complaint from a Kerryman about the jokes, although I've done half a dozen books of Kerryman jokes. You know, they took them on the chin. And I remember knowing John B. Keane, the great Kerry author, before he died. And he said, look, the Kerryman joke is the price that we Kerrymen pay for greatness.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's a very noble sort of generous attitude to have towards the joke.
Indeed it is. So for your Irish joke, as you say, has an edge of cruelty to it, and the punchline is always that we're stupid.
It was used racially, I think, that, and they weren't very subtle. I mean, I did write a book of Englishman jokes in retaliation, you know, where I laughed at the sort of English traditions. And my wife is English, by the way, so I have to be very careful of what I say. But I think the Irish one, it's gone now, I think. And I mean, even the Kerryman joke is gone now, although they've reissued the Kerryman book for the 50th anniversary. I think people are very, very sensitive now. They're very, very touchy. And it's a pity because, you know, political correctness, as you probably know, is really destroying humour. And it's a pity because it's not meant to be malicious. And certainly the Cork slang is not meant
Moncrief,
to be malicious.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2, on News Talk.
Conversation that counts. And people do actually use them.
Yeah, and I suppose, that was that something you had to take into account? Did you include all the words you knew of?
Well, I didn't. I mean, the publishers got a little bit touchy and they got wondered, worried of case legislation and political correctness. And they took a few out that I'd have loved to put in. I won't tell you what they were because they'd be offended too. But I got most of them in, and I got most of them from people living in Cork. I heard them used. I went around to literary groups around about the city, especially on the north side. I mean, the north side would be better for the slang than the south side would be. They're a bit like in Dublin. They're a bit more polite on the south side. But, you know, there are ones that are absolutely distinctive to Cork. For example, "Doubt You Buy." Now, "Doubt You Buy" is what you'd shout at a football match if somebody scores a goal. "I never doubted you were capable of scoring a ball." Mm. "Doubt You." You know, and "A Gola." A gola is a stupid or an obnoxious person. You know, it's from the sort of branch of a tree and the other connotations that might be with that. Langer, of course, is in the title of the book, is one of the most famous ones. A langer has at least three meanings. It's a very annoying or a foolish or stupid person. In the plural, it's drunk. He was langers, means he was absolutely drunk. And it also strangely means the male sexual organ.
So yeah. I mean,
and if somebody's absent from school without permission, he's on the lang or on the hop. So it certainly occurs quite a bit. Another lovely Cork one is "lapsy pa." He have the lapsy pa, and that means an indeterminate digestive condition resulting from food poisoning or excessive drinking. And those are absolutely distinctive to Cork. I got a big book a couple of months ago, Jonathan Green's Dictionary of Slang. It's unbelievable. It's about 6 inches thick. There's 100,000 slang words from all over the world, but there's only one Cork slang word in it: langer. So I thought, that means we are very distinctive, we are very unknown, it's very much a part of the culture or the heritage of Cork City, and long may that continue.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever try to lob the gob?
Lob the gob, yeah, that's to snog someone, basically.
An attempt to give the object of your affection a passionate kiss,
yes.
And it usually fails. So I think there's a great poetry, a great rhythm, a lovely sound for these words. They're not just straightforward little bits of words that people have made up. They're something that... you know, I think, for example, Neil Tobin was a great Cork comedian who lived in Dublin, and I met him once, had dinner with him, and he knew I was interested in this, so he gave me a couple of absolute Corkers I hadn't heard before. And one of them was an Immaculate Conception. An Immaculate Conception is somebody who becomes an alcoholic without ever buying a drink.
Yes.
The beautiful mixture of drink and religion, you know, I mean, which
yeah.
Does people understand. Slock, have you ever slocked apples? Eating apples, slocking apples is a thing activity here in Cork. Do you know what the blonde with the black skirt is?
That a Guinness? Oh, no, a Murphy's.
Yeah.
I should say more correctly. So is it your sense that the amount of slang words is growing all the time?
Oh, it is. It's going. In the book, I've got about 500 different words. And I mean, I've got a few more that the publishers weren't happy with. And every time somebody reads the book, they say, "Have you got this one? Have you got..." I mean, a wonderful one is a Connie Dodger. Cornelius was the Bishop of Cork. And he was sent a query, "Were you allowed to take a biscuit with your cup of tea during the Lenten fast?" And he said, "Yes, you're allowed to take one biscuit." So an enterprising local manufacturer brought out biscuits a foot in diameter. Just one biscuit. People could have a whole meal of it. They were known as Connie Dodgers, Cornelius Lucy, the Bishop of Cork. So
he's
a wonderful character as well.
Since we started talking, Des, I don't know how, we got a load of texts, but let me read a couple of them. Des taught me maths at UCC, a lovely man. Someone else says, "Is that Des McHale? That man is a hero. I live a bit up the road. I know his sons. Went to school with them. Bunch of legends. The McHales are the best humans ever."
Oh, my God. My God. Is this a paid ad?
This is, well, I don't know. This seems to be spontaneous. Either people, either you've set, acutely set up people to text in, or there are people around the place
who
love you.
You probably know my son, Dominic McHale.
Oh, well, of course,
Defenders.
Yes.
He's the Sergeant Healy there. So he's more famous now than I am, you know.
And
at the launch of the book, he came along to launch the book, and more people asked for his autograph than asked for mine. So I know where I am now at this stage. That's with Shane Casey. Yeah.
Well, Des, hopefully this book will help propel you past the sun. Des, thanks a million for speaking
with
us today.
Thank you. Lovely talk. Take care.
That was Des McHale there. He's Emeritus Professor at Maths at UCC and the author of Langers and Lashes, excuse me, A Compendium of Cork Slang. Another text that says, the most famous and popular French comic from the 80s got famous on TV by telling an extremely bad joke, extremely badly told, to a point that the joke drags on for like 10 minutes. And it's one of the most hilarious pieces of French television. That's a typically French surrealarity, I suppose.